Start recording. Cricket.
Hi, Miata. How are you? Well,
I am well. How are you doing?
last Saturday I was talking about you in front of a bunch of North Carolinian filmmakers.
Well, we're gonna start with your victory when well, let's see. I've got Nancy in the waiting room. So that I'm so excited for you. That is huge. Huge.
Thank you. Thank you. Hi, Kate.
Hello, Nancy.
Hello.
All right. Welcome to Creating Cashflow Coaching for September 21st, 2025. Obviously, as you guys see, I am not Christine Aller, the creator of the Cashflow program. Christine is dealing with a family emergency, so she is unable to be with us today. So I am here in her stead and really looking forward to diving in with you guys. So, Cricket, you were the only question that was submitted in advance. So let's dive in. Cricket is a cash flow tiger. Your business, you offer film festival strategy consultation. And your question is a follow-up to a question that was addressed in the last cash flow session. And I have heard that, so I am up to speed.
Great.
So you shared, remember the client who I asked you about billing recently? He is the one I thought I was meeting for a quick conversation about setting up an appointment, but it turned into a 1 hour discussion of his contractual problems with his director, now former friend. He wrote me this week saying that he now has exclusive rights to the film, is ready to get going on festival submissions, but I think he has the same problems that I advised him to address with his attorney before I could move forward. Full ownership and right of representation is just not clear. The director still claims she wants to submit the film from her own Film Freeway account and have final approval of the festival submissions list. The last part is in the contract, actually. So you had raised the contract. They were friends. They did the contract very late in the game. He didn't have a lawyer review that contract.
If he had a
So,
lawyer review it, it wasn't a good one.
wasn't a good one.
Yeah.
So, you, Cricket, you spoke with your friend who's an attorney. She agrees it's too risky to get involved with this project at this time. So I thought I would send him a bill for the 1 hour we did a few weeks ago and a note explaining what my specific concerns are and that I'm not able to work with him given that everything is not clear. I would list several ways that this could go south, such as director could fail to provide information from festivals communicating through her Film Freeway platform in a timely manner. The director could interfere with, second guess your strategy plan and festival submissions, fracturing your relationship with your client. The director could refuse to submit to festivals on my submissions list. Director could malign the film. The thing is, I don't want this to blow up on the filmmaker or myself, which is a great point. Or myself if the film gets into a festival and the filmmaker is problematic in some way. I'm also thinking of saying that if he gets it in writing that she will not have anything to do with the project moving forward, I can reconsider working with him. Thoughts on all of this? Great. Okay. So These are my thoughts, Cricket. I believe that you are absolutely on track with what the information is that should be shared with him.
Okay.
However, what I'm going to push back on is that I see this as an opportunity for you to actually bill for an additional hour of time in order to share this information. Okay. So what
Ooh,
I'm
okay.
this is the way I am looking at this. And then Kate, I know that you were a part of the last session, and so I would welcome your thoughts as well. The way that I'm looking at this is you offer film festival strategy consultation. What was clear in the first hour that you sent with him is that people may believe, right? Film festival strategy, like Cricket is just gonna help. I put just in quotes, right? But Cricket is just gonna help us get our films into festivals. Right?
Right.
But what you proved in that first hour is your consultation services are significantly broader. It really is also about the protection of your client and their project. And
Interesting.
all of this is billable time, whether at the end of the day, right? A client is successful, again, I put in quotes, at their film, that getting into the film festivals that they want to get into, et cetera, and so forth, right? Your consultation is extremely valuable because your clients come away with a level of knowledge and understanding about how they will do this, not just for this project that you're working with them on, but for future projects. And all of that is why they hire you, right? They hire you for your expertise with regards to this process. So you're the session that was, you thought just going to be a little consultation, but that then turned into a full hour of you actually laying out for him. And I love the way you described it, as it was like you were really having to be a detective to point
Yes.
out to him all of the areas that actually ownership wasn't clear, that he was not protected, et cetera, and so forth. And so my feeling is that this is actually potentially the opportunity for you to both support him in this next phase of his obvious challenging situation, while also simultaneously cleaning up the billing about the first session. I was
Gotcha.
absolutely in agreement with Christine. A lot of times when I listen to the sessions, what I'm doing is thinking about what my response would be, right? Because different coaches, we all have different, we may approach things in different ways. But I absolutely, like when I heard your initial question, my first thought was, oh no, you can't. Like, you can't bill him because he didn't go into this thinking that it was a billable session. However, then when I heard that at the end of the time, and it sounds like he's a person with integrity.
Yes.
You really drew attention to the, so obviously this ended up being a full-on session. You are wanting to move forward with a package, so why don't we include this one and as one of the four?
Yes.
And it sounds like he was absolutely like, yes, let's do that, and I'll get back in touch.
Yes.
So what I'm wondering is, what do you think about responding to him and saying something along the lines of, it's so great to hear from you about where you are with the project. I still have some concerns, some real concerns, and I'm spitballing, so we would make this better.
Okay.
But I still have some real concerns about ownership. That, given my expertise, I believe could endanger the project moving forward. Here's my suggestion. We had talked about you doing a four session package and that we would include the first hour that we had on such and such a date as the first session of that package. What I would like to suggest is that we move forward with a mini package, right? And that we spend another hour together with me laying out for you the questions and legalities that need to be fully answered in order for this project to move forward in the best possible, this is where you, right?
Right.
So then you would, whatever your price is for the four sessions, you would say, my thought is that we do a mini package, which I don't normally do, but I'm happy to offer you in this situation. The cost of that is X. It will include the hour that we spent together on this date, and we can schedule a second hour as soon as possible to go through this together. And you then, right, lay out the all of these things that you're prepared to list. Several ways that this could go south. And what I would also consider doing is that you essentially, I don't know how you, when you work with private clients, whether you, after each session, share a kind of report with them, or I don't know what you normally do, but that you would then, as a part of this mini package, you could share a summary of the things that you've reviewed with him and your suggested next steps, that kind of thing. And so it feels to me like this potentially does two things. It gets you paid for the first hour. But it also starts to help you build that muscle of your advice and knowledge is not free. It is valuable. And so here, what you're, I just want you to feel what, again, your generosity of spirit is ready to do. which is to, well, let's try to get the money for that first hour, but I'm also going to now spend probably not a tiny amount of time writing down these concerns and presenting them to him in a note. This is all what people need to engage you for.
Well, it's funny that you say that, Miata, because as I was writing that email or, filling out that form, I was thinking, I've already done this much more work for this guy, and I haven't even gotten paid for anything yet. And I also do, I absolutely agree with you. I need to talk with him and then present a report. I did not do that last time, but I think I do need to present a report that he can present to someone else, because I am the practitioner of an abundance of caution, and he's and I like I want legally for him to be protected. I want me to not have to deal with a third party who has had a creative breakup. I don't want to hear anything that person has to say about anything.
And
So go ahead.
Crystal, you are obviously, because you've been a part of this community for a long time, you're very familiar with the pain versus the power cycle. And what happens is that the vast majority of human beings, right? That's what makes us human. We operate significantly in the pain cycle. And particularly when it comes to our creative projects, our babies, right? Our hearts are in this. And so when you look at the way that this client found themselves in this situation, it's not about blame or, but we know that what happened is they were operating completely 100% from the pain cycle, right? Their friendship and the emotion around that, and the excitement of the project, and we're gonna do this thing, right? And so there was a lot of emotion and very little clarity. And so, your job as the consultant, who is very, very valuable, is to, it's not language that you'll use with them because they don't understand the language, but your job, what you are really doing, is you are firmly bringing them into the power cycle by giving them clarity. That is what consultants do, right? And so you can absolutely lay out to him, and it's a part of this mini package. I'll deliver you with a summary of the things that we've discussed with a list of my suggested next steps, right? And so it's really clear what he's paying for is your advice, which obviously he values because he's come back to you now, right? But you're saying, okay, pause, right? And absolutely, look, by being flexible, by offering this mini package, absolutely, you then open the door. But what also is very likely to happen is if he gets these things resolved, that he would now purchase a full 4-session package to actually now get going on the submission part of this.
I think that's a great piece of advice that I offer to charge him for this, or I share with him that I have this, I remain concerned. I would like to book an I offer a second session, at a specific price with the report so that he has it in writing. Because basically I will be repeating a lot of the things that we already talked about. And I think that I am educating him about why this is
Yes.
a problem.
And that again, right? Like we don't go to school or go to coaching or go to and get it in one session, right? We hear some of what we're being told, and then we don't get all of it. And so clearly, like, he's now come back and he's like, we're ready to go, right? And you're like, not quite yet. But so now what you're gonna do is help him see why he's not yet ready to go. And I feel like all of this, everyone, all of this is also an opportunity for you to really be refining your language about how you work with people and your processes and all of these things. But it also reminds you that this is another reason why people should engage you, because you are helping them look at all of the helping them look at all of the potential pitfalls and all of the opportunities. And I'm spitballing and I don't know enough about this world, but I could see perhaps like mini package or a session that someone might choose to do with you at the very start of a project that they are planning on moving forward with for the purpose of putting them in festivals. So almost like pre-project consultation, where you also some of the stories that you will be able to share are the areas that people do all of this work and spend this money on their projects without actually handling things in certain ways that make them strong candidates for festivals.
That's great.
Yes, Kate.
Just a couple of refinements that I might offer. At the very beginning of your communication with your client, he went out and did something based on your past consultation. So, yay, right? Like you took a step forward and it's an important step. And there's still a whole bunch of ways this thing could go sideways. And so, in order to protect you and your project and me, there are a few things to talk about. And I would somewhere in this conversation that Miata's already beautifully laid out for you, I would say something along the lines of we had originally talked about a four-session package to prepare for the film festival. I think the best way for us to move forward now, given these extra circumstances, is to do a two-session package. So 1 more hour in addition to the previous one, where I can lay out for you all the different ways it could possibly go sideways, and we can game plan about how to plug those holes and what questions you might want to ask your lawyer and what agreements you might want to get from your former partner. But to specifically say we had talked about four, but let's do two, and then we'll talk about how to plug the holes. You'll go away and handle those things. And then when you're ready, we can jump into the four session package to get you in the festival with a clean slate. Because the last thing we want to do is have you putting time, money, and energy into festival submissions and have them, have to be pulled at the last minute. It's going to be disappointing and expensive for you, but also reputationally not good. to put yourself in that position.
Okay.
But I just think,
Right.
just to be real clear about, we talked about four, but let's do two, and this is why.
Yeah.
And the yay at the beginning, because
Yeah, the yay is really
he took your
important.
advice and he did what he could
That's
see
really
about it.
true. That's really true. And that's really helpful. Okay. Thank you.
Amazing. And I also want to share your victory, which is that Cricut debuted your new workshop, Beyond Film School, Building a Sustainable Creative Life. And you debuted that at a festival in North Carolina last week. It went great, and you are excited to keep doing this in different venues. So, congratulations.
Thank you, Miata. I was so excited because I'm dealt with Kate's heard me talk about this for weeks. I dealt with some really challenging material that the last time I dealt with it with my students at my school, there were a lot of tears. And I didn't really want to recreate that sort of environment. So I was able to keep it light, and there were some fun activities. It was very interactive. There were a lot of smiles and laughing as people addressed, their own personal quirks and problems. But the thing that I am most proud of that I got a lot of compliments on is, the last it was six parts, and the last part was on financial sustainability as an artist.
Good
And
for you.
I sped through parts four and five. I had figured out I might have too much material for the 90 minutes I had, so I had already figured out if I need to speed it up, I am not sacrificing part six. And there was a slide that included Abundance Bound, and I talked a lot about how Abundance Bound had really helped me change my personal financial landscape. So
Wow.
several people came up to me afterwards and said, "No one ever talks about this." And I'm like, "I know, and it's a problem.
It's a problem.
It's a problem."
So I'm so proud of you. Thank you so much for sharing Abundance Bound, but also
Thank
just for
you.
sharing this work, this message, because yes, like I think so many of us feel like if we had gotten any of this earlier in our journeys, it would have just it, obviously we're all going to make mistakes, right? But I feel like, well, I might not have made every single one of them that there was to be made, right? So congratulations to you, and I really hope that now you can do that far and wide, because I think so many young people, it would be such a gift if they could hear.
I think so too. And so now that's I need to start thinking about the game plan for that. Y'all hire me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Describe your workshop, set your rate, and yeah,
It'll
just
be
be
fun.
clear.
No tears, but
No
lots
t
of knowledge.
yeah.
Yes.
Good stuff, Cricket. Congratulations.
Such a pleasure, unexpected pleasure to see you. I hope Christine's situation goes fine, but it's really
Thank
nice to
you.
see you. And thank you for
Thank
the
you.
help.
Thanks, Cricket. Hello, everybody. For those of you who joined us while I was talking to Cricket, obviously I am Miata. Christine has a family emergency, and so I am stepping in for her today. Crickets was the only question that I got in advance. So please just pop up your hands and let me know what you would love to talk about today. This is a treat for me to get to be with you, hear what you're up to, and how I might support you. The folks were here hoping to listen today. Yes, Nancy.
I was just going to listen. I have I don't have anything conceptualized to even ask, but I do know that I went to the mindset call, and I was sharing that I have some like personal things going on in my life, and within that, I've been realizing that there's like things financially that I haven't been really fully honest about. Like I've sort of been like brushing things under the rug. And one of them is I need to make more money. And so this, creating cash flow is obviously, couldn't come soon enough. And so I guess it's actually interesting because one of the things that I have been thinking about doing is film festival consultancy. Hi, Cricket. So, I mean, yeah, I think that's kind of, I guess, just like where to start ideas. And then maybe then again, I didn't have anything conceptualized to ask. So.
Which is fine, right? That's really what this space is, all the levels, whether we're already actively in a business or in a job, or we are just at the beginnings of ideas. That's what creating cash flow is about. And so, I think, Nancy, that first of all, you're going about this very much in the right way. And here's what I mean, in that you joined this program to get clear about where you are financially, right? And what happens when we do that is we realize, like you say, there's some things that you've been brushing under the rug. That's a great way of putting it. Some of us, I know that I had my head like very firmly in the sand, but I also just was working so hard, but without any direction, right? And many of you have heard me say this, but it really is an analogy that helps me a lot. When someone said to me, Miata, it doesn't matter how hard you are rowing the canoe if you're going in the wrong direction, right? And that was just such a helpful analogy for me because I was like, I'm just working hard. And if I work hard, then ultimately things have to work. And so the reason why I start here, Nancy, is because one of the things you said is you're getting clear that you need to make more money, right? And one of our first jobs, it's not that these things can't happen simultaneously, but one of the first jobs is what is more? Like, what is that actual number? And because everyone, we all want to make more money. But the challenge with that approach is just that, well, I mean, if I bring in an extra $200 a month, that's more money. Or do I need an extra 1,000? Or do I need an extra 2,000 or 4,000, right? And the reason why that clarity helps is because then we can utilize that clarity to help develop your idea in a way that supports that amount, right? What the amount is. And again, whenever we're building something, it's going to have to build in stages, right? We know that we're not going to just jump from zero to suddenly we've got a business that's making us six figures a year. However, we can set those benchmarks if we have a first target. So I wanted to start by saying that because that's the work that you're about to dive into when we do the launch into abundance class that will start in October. We'll be getting super clear. But can you give me a little bit more background about your current situation? How is money being earned? Are you a partnership? Are you on your own? Just so that we know some of that.
So give me more information. So I feel like I just have to say what's happening. I'm married. My husband and I are on a break,
Okay.
and I don't know what's going to happen. Like genuinely, it could go either way. And when I say that I haven't re like I've sort of allowed myself to he has a full-time job. I am an actor. I make money booking jobs through residuals, and then I have like a couple actor odd jobs, like I'm a standardized patient, like that sort of thing, right? Like I do some like corporate trainings, like that sort of vibe. And I've sort of And I'm very good at budgeting.
You're very good at budgeting.
And so I can, do you know what I mean? Like I can stretch the money. I can figure out, oh, we can take on a little debt here and then we can pay it off. Do you know what I mean? Like we don't have a lot of debt. And part of that is because I move things around. I produce films as well, short films. And that's part of the thing that it's like a way that my brain works. That being said, there are things that aren't being they're not being taken care of. Retirement accounts aren't being tended to the way they really ought to be. And then also I think just for me, I've sort of I supplement his income and we make that work. But my income by myself Do you know what I mean? Like it is a supplement to his income that makes this work. And so if I was going to say like if I wanted to consistently supplement the situation that I'm in now, an extra $500 a month would be amazing. Maybe,
Great.
you know, or more, great, always or more.
Yes.
But if I'm talking about this relationship not working out, that's a whole different.
Absolutely.
So it's a lot.
Yes. It's a lot. And you're going to take it in pieces, right? But what I also just want to remind you is that what you just said, when you said, my husband has the stable job and you have the producer's brain. And so your work that you do helps it work. We make it work, right? And it's really important to know in a partnership that those pieces are both critical pieces, right? So don't just don't take away from the job you have played, which is, yes, you supplement the income. And you also, it sounds to me like you run the finances.
Yes.
And that's a really important role. Okay. So great. The beauty about that, a consistent extra $500 would be a great place to start. That's fabulous. And then it can grow. It can grow from there. But I think it's brilliant to really lean in to your skills. And it sounds like your skill around producing and really having that budgeting brain, it sounds like that is an area that is a great place to play with in terms of what business you might create. And so where I would encourage you to start is I would encourage you to start by thinking about when you say you produce short films, I would love for you to really start making a list of what are all of the talents and skills that you bring that has led to projects going from idea to completion. And it sounds like because you have thought about film festival consulting, like not just beginning to completion, but also what is the work that you have done with those projects when they're done, to bring them out into the world? And I would really think about, like, don't leave anything off. What are all of the pieces that you lead? Because these are the things that other, these are strengths, everyone, that because we have them, we sometimes just think, oh, well, you know, but someone else would be like, oh, wow, Nancy, you budget like you are a star budgeter, you, and be like, please, how can we work together? Right. So thinking about that, starting that list. To me, that can help you start to think about what, where, at what point in the process am I incredibly useful to people who want to bring their projects out into the world? You know, not to go off topic, but for those of us who are in entertainment, I think that no one can argue anymore that the really only real path forward in terms of a sustainable entertainment career, truly sustainable entertainment career, is going to have to incorporate the development of your own projects, right? That used to be, some people wanted that path, and others, we just wanted to do. Be hired to do work, to be a part of other projects, right? And I think that path is becoming so narrow. Now, what that means, Nancy, and everyone, is that for people whose brains work that way of really bringing ideas to life, the demand for that support, I believe, is actually really going to increase. Now, what everyone has to be aware of is, of course, that there are going to be a lot of people with very tiny budgets who are trying to make projects happen. And so when we think about a business that we are starting, we really want to be aware of, are we starting a business with a market that literally cannot pay for anything? But what I feel is that what I would want you to be thinking about as you are generating your list is I would want for you to be thinking about what is the value that I can add for a very reasonable amount of money. And you're gonna, again, what we're not looking to do here is I do this much work for this much money. That is not what we're looking to do. What we're looking to do is to really look at our skills and say, what is significant value I can add given my skills, strengths, talents, right? So, not hard for me to do it. I like doing it. I'm good at it. But that I could add that value for a smaller amount of money. Because then that we can always scale up. There can always be, or you can have this much value for this much money, right? But I can give you this really powerful piece of value for an amount of money that is really going to be worth it for you, right? And especially when you are saying, first goal of, wow, being able to have a consistent $500 a month. Well, what could that look like, right? What would a $250 investment, what when you look at your list of skills and talents and the things that you do, what could you give someone that would set them on a path of their project? Someone who's all over the place, right? What could you do? What would a $250 package look like, right? Because then 500, so $6,000 a year. So, oops, sorry. Hold on there. So I'm just quickly, this is a very loose revenue model, $6,000, right? Divided by 250. So 24 $250 packages, right? And again, that doesn't have to be 24 people. That could absolutely be repeat clients in terms of what you do. Is it $250 for a session, or is it $250 for a service, like information that you provide? But these are the ways that as you're making your list, you can start thinking about what's the value that I bring? And then we start to test it, right? We start to test it.
Yeah, that's all really helpful, and it got me thinking too that earlier, I don't know what is time. I think it was earlier this year that I like I don't understand time anymore. But I did a I sort of set up a budget and a schedule. I worked in concert with a friend of mine, and we did it for a feature. We had never done that for a feature before. And I don't remember, I would have to go back and look like what we charged. But we tried to put it at a very low end because her budget was minuscule.
Right.
And there are a couple of things that we realized. We did not charge enough for the amount of work that we had to put in, number one. And number two, we didn't charge enough for the value of what we delivered. Because, like, the value of what I was like, Judy, like this is it's everything you need to know. It's soup to nuts. Do you know what I mean? Like you can go and do this if you follow this. This is your game plan.
Right.
And both she and her director were like, whoa, like this is incredible. Do you know what I mean? But again, it was we
It's a lot of work.
undervalued. It was a it's a lot of work.
And so, to my mind, because my husband is an AD, he's a first assistant director. And so sometimes, someone will say, could we pay you to do the budget and the schedule? And I agree with you. That's a job and it takes skill. And so, to my mind, I'm starting to see a list of services, right? And so, and please, everyone, when I throw out things like, what's a $250, I am not suggesting that some of the things on Nancy's list are going to be worth way more than that, right? So, a budget and a schedule. That to me is a totally different price point. That there will be projects that absolutely can and should invest in that. So your decision would be what is now that you have experience doing that, right? What is a budget and a schedule for a short? What's a budget and a schedule for a full length feature, right? Those could be different prices. But what I'm starting to see very loosely is a kind of like, it's kind of like concierge producer service thing, right? Concierge producer. And that I can really see an explanation of more and more this industry is about getting your own projects out into the world. And what I do is with my producing experience, I support projects at all levels in a variety of ways. And then you kind of lay out the sort of different levels that you can help people. And I think it's important. And it's kind of when I was listening to the session with Cricket from the last time with the pricing, right? This is something that we all, when we're building, this is something that we all go through in terms of we don't price it, we don't charge enough, we do too much for too little, we give away endless hours. Like that's just a part of the growth process, right? But we just want to make sure we learn from the things that we do. So we want to really say, all right, great, you did this. Now you know you can do it. But really, what did it take? And you saw how impressed they were with the end result. So now you don't have to be the highest priced person to do that, but really, what's the amount that I would be very happy to sit down and schedule and do a schedule and do a budget? What's the amount that I would need to charge for that, right? And then you can look at what the other things are that end up on your list in terms of how you take a project from a swirl of ideas and help people get it out into the world.
Yes.
All right. Does that give you at least a place to start and keep coming back,
Yes, I
right?
will.
Keep coming back and we keep going.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much, Miata. Thank you.
Yeah,
It was
sure.
really, really helpful. Thank you.
Yes, Cricket.
Do you mind if I add a few thoughts on this topic?
Is
Since
that
I
okay, Nancy?
please.
So, Nancy, our indie filmmakers are pretty well strapped, I find, when it comes to film festival consulting. There is a belief in general that it's very easy to do this. Film Freeway makes it look easy. And I think that this is one of the, this is festivals and festival travel and festival consulting are areas where filmmakers are likely to not have budgeted for appropriately. So I just want to throw that out there. And honestly, there are so many actors now who are creating their own content, but don't have the ability, the skills around production that. That seems like a really great space for you to lean into with your background and experience as an actor. So I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And heard, I agree that I myself am guilty of not budgeting appropriately for the distribution part of, you know what I mean, the travel and all of that. And that it does seem easy and that it is absolutely not.
And then what
There's
happens
so many
is
easy mistakes and pitfalls that people
there
make.
are so many mistakes that get made, or so many, they're paying me as a strategist, and there are expectations that in no way can I meet. But because money has been paid, there's a, and just a sense that like my film should be getting into more festivals. And I would equate it to, you know, when you hire an attorney to defend you in a legal case, the attorney also does not know how what the outcome will be.
Yes.
So anyway, I just wanted to throw it out there that the festival consulting end may not be sort of the easiest path.
Heard. Yes. Thank you for that, Cricket. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
The other thing, oh, and then yes, Kate, the other thing I just want to say is when I hear producer brain, right, and budgeting, like you just, I, however you said it so beautifully that like you can do a budget, right?
Yes.
And I would also encourage you to do some exploration and thinking outside of the box around other industries that can really utilize a producer brain. And where your background in the film industry could really appeal to those who aren't in the film industry, while also having you build a creating cash flow through an avenue that isn't the same industry that you yourself are in, right? And so I look, I absolutely stand by what I said, which is that I believe that the numbers of people needing to put projects out in the world is going to keep growing. And I think that you obviously have a skill set there that can be, that you can offer. Right, and that you can put a price behind. What I would love to also see, however, is what about business owners who are producing events? Right, that is something that is very popular. Big conferences. And with multiple speakers and things, I'm just as you're making your list, because there are other markets that might be financially stronger. And what can happen then, and this is for everyone, is then you have a client base that one or two of those a year help you then offer your film services, right? But you're not viewing those clients as your bread and butter, per se. So I'd love to just plant that seed as well.
Cool, thank you.
Okay. So, Denise, your hand went up, and please, everyone, well, it's June. If anyone is hoping to talk about anything today, let me know so that I make sure I use our last half hour well. Yes, Denise.
Hi, Miata. How are you?
Hi, so good to see you.
You too. Thank you. I am driving, so forgive me.
Stay
but
safe. Stay
I was like,
safe.
let me catch her when I can. I will for sure. This might, well, there's two things. This might be more of a money management question. I
Okay.
think it is. But since I had you here, I just thought I would ask and maybe we can defer to money management time. So I very recently found out that I'm coming into a relatively, I guess, relatively large sum of money compared to what I'm used to. And basically, my father passed in 99, but he left my sister and I a painting. And over the years, it has gained value so that my sister was able to, through a company, get it sold, and we are splitting the rest after their commission,
Okay.
to the tune of $290. That's what we're $290
Uh-oh.
splitting.
You
We
fro you
take.
froze for a second, but
Oh,
yes,
sorry.
290.
290,000 dollars.
Your portion or half of that?
Half of that. That's what we're splitting.
Okay, great.
We're both giving 10% to my mom because she's like
Okay.
in her 80s and still hasn't retired due to finances.
Okay.
And then I owe my sister about 4,000. So that leaves me with about 112,000
Okay,
after
great.
everything is taken out. She works with, she has a money person that she works with. And he's kind of investigating ways, what we could do with the money so that we're not taxed, because normal taxes would be ridiculous on that money. We both had kind of spoken about perhaps putting it directly into some sort of retirement savings or something. So I just wanted to see if maybe that's something we can discuss later, or, but that's kind
So,
of something.
it's super interesting, everybody, right? Because I'm going to say that this is like right on, it's on the line, right? Between a cash flow question and a management question, because obviously I do believe that investing is an important form of cash flow, right? And multiple streams of income. And this is where all of the work that we do here as a part of the Financial Empowerment Program really connects, right? Because you know how we talk about the three pillars, mindset, management, and making more? What's
Yeah.
interesting, Denise, about your question is your question or this situation is a situation that, man, do all three of those pillars come into play, okay? Because we want to make sure that we have a clear and strong mindset around this money. Like already, I'm sure everyone heard, and you heard yourself, Denise, say, you know, it's like it's a larger amount of money than I've ever, right?
Yeah, it's not $1 million. So like my sister and I were saying, my sister was like, it's not a ton, but it is enough that it could change my trajectory if I'm wise with it. I'm very aware of that for sure.
So that's like the mindset piece.
Yeah.
And the management piece, it's like, they're the biggest thing that I would want you to do in this place is to get super clear on your financial baseline right
Yeah.
now.
Yeah.
so that we really know what this money needs to do for you, right? In terms of helping change the trajectory. It's
Yeah.
not possible for you to put the money into retirement, okay? Into an actual retirement account. And
Okay.
everyone, because retirement accounts were only allowed to put earned income into our retirement accounts, okay?
Got you.
So, where you do need an expert that's beyond me is you absolutely do need an expert with regards to the capital gains
Yeah.
of this amount. What
Yeah.
I'm curious about, and where I'm absolutely not an expert, everyone, is the painting. This is what I don't know, right? Because there's long-term capital gains and there's short-term capital gains, okay? Short-term capital gains is what none of us want, because short-term
Right,
capital
'cause you're
gains
the
is
taxes are crazy.
the taxes are crazy. That is
Yeah.
where it really can be like 40%, right?
Exactly.
Long-term capital gains is actually really small to sometimes almost non-existent,
Okay.
right? So I guess what I don't know is that the painting had a value and the painting has been held. And so then when you sell the painting, is the money from that sale? It's honestly like a question I've never, is it what's the like basis of the are you being charged short-term capital gains because it's like, oh, I just came into this money? Or is the fact that this painting has been held in your family? That's what I don't know. But I think
Yeah.
that's the biggest sort of legal question that needs to be answered by an actual like tax expert.
Yeah.
The only other thing that I don't, because the painting has already been sold, right?
It has. So, just a little background. My dad bought it, I don't know when, but maybe in the 70s, 60s, 70s, for $2,000. My sister had it
Wow.
appraised maybe 10 years after he passed, and I think someone told her like $15,000.
Wow.
So, when and it, so she ended up like wrapping it in a blanket and putting it in her closet. Like we joke that like at one point there was a little dirt on it, so she got like a wet napkin. Her
Now she's
ex-husband
like dying over here. Yeah.
with her ex-husband at the time, and he recently said, I wouldn't let anybody know about that. But the people who bought it, so it was appraised, I think, the company, and they're not like a whatchamacallit when you do the an auction house. They're like a more private company who also sells to the customers. So they'll buy it and then sell it. They appraised it, I think, at 290, but they ended up selling it for 320.
Wow, great.
So yeah. So yeah, there's a lot of unknowns in terms of like where the point starts for the value in terms of
Right.
like what we're making, but we're trying to really minimize the amount that we have to pay in taxes. Thank you, Kate.
Okay, great.
So I think where my mind goes is I so related to Nancy, and to be quite honest with you, I think finances have been like such a trigger for me that I am like I start to do the work in the course, and then like life happens, and then I'll be like, today's the day, you know what I mean? Or like, I'll be like, okay, well, I have to do X, Y, and Z, so I need to set aside time.
My reality is that I under-earn working two jobs, right? And so there's it's just going to try to get to baseline. So I look at it when it's these kinds of situations. I'm not like, great, I'll be able to buy these things that I've always wanted. And I don't even look at it like, because I'm planning, the question number two was, it was just more of like, I'm planning on leaving LA, and Panama is actually one of my places that I'm considering. So I might send you like a quick email asking for a
Sure.
quick response if that's okay. I'm not even like, let me use that money to get to another country. I'm not even like that per se. I think that I have probably about the same amount in my retirement fund, my pension,
Okay, great.
but it's not enough. You know what I mean? It's not enough. And even if it was, that times two, it won't be enough for retirement. So I tend to kind of be more conservative, even though I'm like historically not great with money and an under earner. I tend to be more like, this should go towards like the long term when I'm not able to hustle and I need that money. But it will be, but you're right. Thank you for making that distinction. I can't just take a lump sum of money and say, okay, here, retirement. I could put it right now, it's in a high yield interest account,
Great, great, great.
making 4%, which comes out to $20 a day, I've calculated.
That's great.
Yeah. But I do want to find out kind of like what if there are any loopholes, because that would probably be. That would probably give me more direction. That would probably be like, I'll do that so I don't have to give 40,000,
So I think, everyone, this is one of those situations where we just want to get as much clarity as we can. So, right now, Denise, you have done absolutely the right thing, which is the first level of when we're looking at cash flow in terms of an investment. The first level is let's just get the money safe and earning as much as it can safely. Right now, while I gather more information. So you've done that. It's in a high yield savings account.
Yeah, that
Now,
was all my sister. My sister did that.
amazing. Now, interest rates, the feds have just announced a cut, and we expect at least one more cut before the end of the year. So that 4% is going to start to go down probably relatively soon. My expectation is that we'll probably be seeing from high yield savings accounts more like 3% by the end of this year. Maybe
Wow,
might get 3.25 by the end of this year. Okay.
okay.
But so that's the first job. The second job is, and I know you are working really hard right now, and so there's limited time and energy. The second job is to get as clear as possible about the current financial situation, as clear as possible. Because everybody, what we want to do is, and we were talking about this with in the
Nancy.
management call, no, in I think the last management call with Courtney and her husband Diego. Part of what we want to determine is what right now is your average monthly shortfall, right? So, because once we know that number, I'm just making this up, but let's say it's $1,000, right? $1,000, you're upside down every month. Then what we know is that 12,000 of this money needs to buy you a year. 12,000 of this money, that's what it's needed for. Let's not pretend that it's not, right? I'm not saying we're going to need the whole year, but the more space we have to say, all right, now let me figure out what my next steps are. Because, Denise, you're absolutely right when you say, look, this money, it isn't enough to be like, okay, well, now I can put this in my retirement and I'll be fine, right?
Right.
It's not enough for that. What it can do, however, is it can get you going in the right direction
Right.
so that we start being able to really plan for retirement, right? So
Yeah.
that's this gift is about making sure we use it as powerfully as possible, right? To get, you said it, to shift your course that you're on.
Yeah, and that raises a really interesting point because I know I said like I wouldn't necessarily even put it towards getting out of LA and or the country, but I don't want to be like absolute about that because I think,
Absolutely.
yeah, because I think it's going to cost money to get out of LA and out of the country. And I think that, like, for example, I had applied to Berkeley's MBA program, and that program alone is $100,000. I don't really want to go. I was just trying to create something, you know, some options. So I think I ha have to also accept that if I make a major life change, it's going to cost money. It's not going to
It's
be
going to cost
free.
money. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think, and I'm going to just give you a couple steps, and then I definitely want to take June during our last 15 minutes. I think that so we got the money safe and earning. Then we want to try to get clear on your current, as clear as possible. We're not looking for perfection, your current financial situation. What's the shortfall, right? What's the shortfall? So then we allocate some of that money to just handling that shortfall, right? And if, again, I'm just making this up, but let's say it's $1,000, right? If $1,500 would give you back a few hours from the two jobs, then we again, we're being strategic here, right? Because we can't work two jobs under earning forever. Because, like,
No.
so we've got to, everyone, we've got to get out of that cycle. And so, if this is where we look at what would 18 to 20,000, would that give us a year where we could cut back a little bit on all the two jobs, right? Just a little bit because we need to keep earning, but could we cut back a little bit to give ourselves again just a little bit more space to figure out what next steps are? Is it a
Yeah.
move to another country, right? What are next steps? And then the other piece is obviously we need the expertise around what is the minimum amount of taxes that I legally am going to have to pay
Yeah.
so that we just, everyone, we just like that's the thing about cash flow is whenever there is cash flow, there is going to be a tax burden. That's almost true, almost 100% of the time. There's going to be tax burden. So we just need to figure out what legal avenues are available to minimize that. And
Yeah.
then, Denise, what we'll have is we'll have clarity. Okay, this much of that money isn't yours. It's going to taxes. Let's keep it in the high yield savings account until you have to pay the taxes, because again, it can be earning money. Then what amount would buy you some time? I'm not saying you're going to need a year, but I like to give yourself that time if you can. And then the rest we can really look at. Now, what can be done with that to grow it?
Yeah,
Sure.
I got you.
Okay.
I got you. Absolutely. Thank you, Miata,
You're
very
welcome.
much.
Keep me posted.
I will. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, June.
Oh my God, Miata, I love seeing your face.
I haven't seen you in so long. I've missed you.
I've missed you too. Okay, well, I really just wanted to listen today, but I am like so excited to give you a little bit of life update, and then I'm sure I have a question. I'm doing a play right now.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm doing A Streetcar Named Desire in Michigan.
Oh, and who are you playing?
I'm Stella, and we just today was our we had the matinee finishing our first opening weekend, and it went really well. Big houses, big success. And so, yes,
Where are you doing it?
at Flint Repertory Theater in Michigan.
Congratulations. Oh,
Thank
that's
you.
exciting. Oh, I wish I could see it.
Me too.
Congratulations.
Big deal. It's my first professional play in 15 years.
Wow.
And it's really like I just started doing theater again only in the last year or so. And like so much has grown in that part of my life. And it feels like so amazing and validating and exciting. And I've been acting a lot, but also doing producing and assistant directing. And I'm hoping to direct. That is like something I get really worried about because I'm like, really, I have such a thriving community of artists that like everybody wants to make stuff. And so there's so many opportunities, but it's just like none of us have any money and it's all like really scrappy. And this summer I was doing two. I was in a show and I was producing a show. And I just like when I look at how much time I spent and how little money of it was made, it's just like it was okay. Like I was fine, and I talked about it with Christine going into it, and I knew that. But I'm like, this is what I want so badly, but it's totally unsustainable. Luckily, now I'm in a professional contract, so it's like, this is great, but this is ending in 3 weeks. And I'm just like, so I'm really like, oh my God, how do I keep doing the things I want to do, which takes so much time and so much energy? And like, there's just not a lot of money in like the independent theater space.
There isn't.
So that's like so sad to me, and I don't know really how to deal with it. But I have been building a side business that is, I've been doing breath work and meditation teaching.
Amazing.
And I have like this one corporate client, and they keep bringing me back every single month. And now they just asked me to do it for the rest of the year officially, which
Brilliant.
is so amazing. And like, I literally make more than I make in a week doing this play in 1 hour. Although there's a lot of prep, so it's more than an hour. And it's amazing, and I'm so grateful for them. And in my head, I'm like, this is awesome. Like, it's actually like such a complimentary job for the acting theater stuff and film and TV too.
And but not to interrupt, it
Oh,
is
sorry.
it's so complimentary while being the perfect example of a different client. The client is not the theaters or the creative community. The client are these corporations that want your work, your energy work, your breath work, your meditation work. So they want that creative side, but they want to bring it to their sort of more traditional people, and they can pay for that. So that's lovely.
Yes, it feels really good. And I don't feel guilty at all about taking their money,
Good.
which I do when I'm like working with artists, which is also hard because that's actually what I really want to do. But, and I know you probably can resonate with that. I have this one client. It's going so well. Like, they're obsessed. Like, I get good numbers and all stuff. But I'm like having a really hard time finding more of them. And I've really just been mostly focused on my personal network because that's how I found this. And it's like more and more I'm hearing that they're not doing these programs anymore. Like they're really cutting back on workplace wellness. And I'm just like, shoot, like I want more clients. And so I guess that's kind of my main question. And I haven't been focused on it as much because I've been doing all of these shows, but I do have a session coming up next week. And I am like, the show is going to end, and I really need to keep having the cash flow coming in. So, need to like prioritize this again.
So I, first of all, I would definitely love for Kate to chime in with any thoughts here based on your corporate experience. But this is one of those areas where the part I will say is that you have a client that is clearly very happy with your services, right? And so the first thing is that I really want for you to make sure that you are, and Kate may be able to speak to what the best way is to do this, but is it a simple web page, but something that can be shared with other potential clients that really highlights the work that you are doing with this client, right? Because what I want is I want you to have the way that some of this, guys, is no different than the work we do as creatives. It's putting in the numbers of, I would love for you to have a strategy where you are generating as long a list as possible of companies, businesses of all sizes that are in any realm of the radius that it would be reasonable for you to go to, right? And literally just starting a campaign of contacting, sharing what you do, and trying to add additional clients to your roster. Like, I'm sure that there's probably some posting that you could be doing on LinkedIn and things like that, but I would be inclined to have you really just like, what's the longest list of potential companies that I can put together, and just putting yourself on a schedule of outreach, right? And letting them know what you're doing. But let's check in with Kate, because I know, Kate, you have a decent amount of experience with corporate.
I do. And marketing, yeah, marketing is the answer, right? And it's the thing where I'm like, oh, I don't want to talk about myself. But the thing is you've got this great client, and congratulations for developing all this and for enabling yourself this amazing artistic summer. Awesome.
Thank you.
So you've got somebody who loves you there, right? Was this someone that you? I understand it was a personal connection, but the person at the company, are they in HR or what's their
Yeah,
title?
it's I think it's tech, it's workplace wellness is what it's called, but I think it's part of HR.
Okay, so the person that hires you can look on LinkedIn and see what their title is. And it would probably make sense to then target other people at other companies with that same title. The other thing you can do on LinkedIn is look at that person, and often they will have professional organizations that they're members of, and you can see that there. And then you can search for other members of that organization, or you can even join that organization. It might be like HR Professionals of Southern California, or I'm not sure what the titles would be. I'd have to look around on LinkedIn, but I think that's a really good place to start. Depending on your relationship with the person, one thing you could do, two things you could do with that person if you feel comfortable and have a good relationship, would be rather than ask for a testimonial, put together a little survey that asks, to say, I'm putting together some marketing. I want to reach out to additional corporate clients, and if you could answer these questions, it would really help me. And just like three or four, why did you hire me in the first place? What did you expect? How have I met your expectations? And then what surprised you, or how have I exceeded your expectations? And, how have I exceeded your expectations? What benefits have you seen in your employees? That kind of a question. And then you can use those to whether you want to ask permission to quote them directly or not. I don't think quoting them directly is so important, but it gives you an idea of what's important to them and what, because in marketing, what Christine always tells us, you want to let people know you exist and you want to communicate the value of what you do. And so by getting these survey answers, they can be, very brief. And by asking the questions, it's so much easier than like, can you write me a recommendation? And people are like, what do I, say? Then you understand what's important to them and you can build that into your About Me page. Christine very often recommends people get an About Me page. It's free. It's just one URL where people can go to get the basics about you. And
May I ask a question?
yeah.
Like, I hear you, like, I totally hear you. That's such a good idea. I love the survey idea. I always get very confused about, like, how and if to talk about my acting. Because I am, like, very presently working and I have, like, a lot of, like, exciting. Like, I'm like, do I keep them separate or do, like, does my LinkedIn, do I also put stuff around that? Or, like, do people, I just don't know if I, like, keep them separate or if I intermingle them and you know what I mean? It's like a weird identity thing.
Yeah. I think that in today's world, and you can also look around LinkedIn and see what other people are doing to inspire you. But I think in today's world, a hybrid career is very, very common. It's very common. Even people who have corporate jobs have a side hustle. It's very common. So to, I mean, you can do it either way, but I think that there's a way to integrate it. Theater actress, producer, breathwork teacher.
On like everything.
I don't, I mean, you can come back with that and we can workshop it, but I don't want you to feel like you have to hide. And so the more you can be yourself, and of course, the thing is, for people who have not lived a creative life, the creative people are the magic people, right? You have access to your body and your life experience in a way that a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people in corporate life haven't experienced that. So that's something to be generous with, right?
That's
And
a cool way of looking at it.
yeah, and I don't think you necessarily have to share your credits unless you want to. Award-winning actress if you want to. But to, like on your About Me page, you're offering your breathwork stuff. And then, then maybe somewhere at the end, June Schreiner is also an award-winning actress in theater, film, and television. Her most recent work, well, her most recent role was Stella in Streetcar Named Desire. Something simple like that, if you want to include it. So I don't want you to feel like you have to hide, but it's sort of in your marketing, what do you put forward? Because they're not hiring you to sit behind a desk. So it's not like you're going to put up any red flags of like, oh, is she going to be calling in sick all the time? It's you're a consultant, you're coming in periodically, right, as a teacher. So does that help? Does that answer?
Thank you.
So yeah, I'd encourage you to come back and workshop an About Me page because that's sort of the shorthand, that's the business card, right?
I have a website, but maybe it's too complicated.
What?
You can bring it and workshop it,
Yeah,
or you can
and
put a
so
tab that's about breath work. Go
the
ahead, Mia.
exactly.
Thank you.
Like I've seen folks do that where, they have a website and they have a page on the site that is about the extra work that they do. Because I think Kate, I mean, spot, like, I love your advice. And my feeling is that guys in this world, we will do ourselves a disservice if we're trying to hide and compartmentalize ourselves. I feel that what you look at is, if I'm setting up a LinkedIn, what is it that I am most hoping to use LinkedIn to do, right? And so if you're setting up your LinkedIn and you're really hoping to utilize that to bring you additional clients with breathwork, then what I would be doing is I would be leading with the breathwork, but I would be talking about how my significant experience as an actor has informed my breathwork and my training. Because there are other people who do breathwork. There are other people who offer meditation, right? So the question becomes, why am I choosing June? And what your job, all of us guys, what our job is to tell them why they are choosing us. But we have to know why they're choosing us. The danger that we have, and I think so many creatives fall into this trap, is I do a little breath work on the side, but what I really am is an actor, right? But I do a little, and so we minimize it, which causes other people to minimize it. It's like, oh, she's an actor who's like trying to make some extra money. We must stand in the full power of who we are. And our experience is a, I be believe that a part of what makes me good at what I do as a financial coach is the very fact that I am an actor. And I am someone who has lived a non-traditional life my whole life and have married another non-traditional person. That is a huge part of who I am. So we don't want to hide any of it because it is, in fact, what makes us special. There are other financial coaches you could work with, but part of the reason
No,
you,
I don't think
no,
so.
you're right. There really aren't. No, other. But part of the reason you choose me is because of the whole package. And that, June, because I know you really well, you're such an example of, I want June because I want all of June. Not like, oh, she does a little breath work on the side. Okay.
Yeah, that's super helpful. Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. Oh.
Yes, Kate.
I just I think this is great. Like you're putting together your value proposition and your about page or your tab to start to work on that. And then I was just going to say, come back and work with us or work with Christine about a strategy. Like Miata was saying, after you do this piece, then the next piece is making that list. And then you make a plan. I'm going to spend X number of hours a week reaching out. And these are the ways I'm going to reach out. So those are your steps down the road
Okay.
for that. So
Right.
brilliant.
Thank
And
you. I love that roadmap. Thank
yeah,
you.
and you came in knowing that this was your next step. So awesome.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Oh, love you all so much.
Well, thank you guys so much. My dogs are like, it is dinner time. I don't know whether, I hope you haven't been able to hear them, but they're over here wrestling. Like, let's make a lot of noise so mom just pays attention to us. Thank you guys. It's such a gift for me to be able to spend this time with you, having a conversation that I don't often get to have. This, I think, kind of closes out September for us.
Our next session is October 5, is the
Is
next
October
creating cash
5th.
flow.
Perfect. So that's our next cash flow. And the you have power hours coming up this week, and in these last 10 days of this month, I will make just a last call for everyone. The doors open for the Financial Empowerment Program on Friday, September 26th, and they will be open for 5 days, so September 26th to September 30th. I posted about it in the community. I will be having 20-minute sessions with anybody next week who wants to, if you have any colleagues or friends who might be interested in joining us, please point them towards the links, because I would love to meet them and see if we might be the right fit. All
Oh,
right.
hell yeah.
Good. More Junes. Bring us more Junes.
Yes. No, I'm
All
trying to get
right.
my boyfriend up in here.
Kate, thank you so much. Denise, Nancy, thank you for letting me coach you guys today. And I will see you all very, very soon. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Bye, everyone.
Thank you,
Bye.
Miana. Thanks for the
Bye.
great questions, everybody. Bye.
Bye.